Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, or at least yesterday's program for the Sunday readings, I spoke about the humility that is so necessary in us, a living in the truth, in order to understand who we are, who God is, and where we're going. It's a hard lesson. We don't, oh, humble, that means I'm groveling in the dirt. No. Humility is truth. You don't have to demean yourself. You are a son or daughter of God. It is to live in the truth of who you are and who God is. Well, today we have the feast of the Passion of John the Baptist, a man who more and more clearly knew who he was, that he could say, he must increase and I must decrease. In other words, your focus in your life is on the Lord so much so that you bring others to that knowledge, and you're very much in the secondary place. You want God known in all your conversations, in all your contexts. Doesn't mean that it has to be religious talk. It means that you have to live out of the truth of who you are, your love for God, your desire to serve him, or making decisions that indicate you are a follower of Christ. Live out of that. That's the truth. Magnificat magazine gives us a little commentary at the beginning of these readings, and it actually comes from, again, Pope Emeritus Benedict. The task set before the Baptist as he lay in prison was to become blessed by this unquestioning acceptance of God's obscure will. Look what happened to John the Baptist. He had his head cut off. Here was someone who went before the Lord, who proclaimed the coming of the Messiah. My goodness, brothers and sisters, you'd think, well, then, if this is how God is using me, then I'm going to have a glorious entrance into heaven. And he did. But it came in a pretty severe way, didn't it? And so easy when things get very difficult and very hard, it's very easy to think God doesn't care. God didn't hear me. Live in the truth, and it will set you free, really. Benedict says, the task set before the Baptist as he lay in prison was to become blessed by this unquestioning acceptance of God's obscure will, to reach the point of asking no further for external, visible, unequivocal clarity, but instead discovering God precisely in the darkness of this world and of his own life, and thus becoming profoundly blessed. See, the kingdom of God goes contrary to the kingdom of the world. It's a contradiction. And people say, oh, that doesn't make any sense. You have to think like God thinks, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit to help you to see. Out of the darkness comes light. This commentary goes on to say, John, even in his prison cell, had to respond once again and anew to his own call for metanoia, that is, a change of thinking, a way of thinking, a change of mentality, in order that he might recognize his God in the night in which all things earthly exist. When he was thrown into prison, he knew he was going to die. Did God abandon me? Did I do the right thing? Did I do the wrong thing? Only when we act in this manner does another, and doubtless the greatest, saying of the Baptist reveal its full significance. He must increase, I must decrease. And then Pope Benedict says, we will know God to the extent that we are set free from ourselves. Listen to that. We will know God to the extent that we are set free from ourselves. That's from our pride, from our arrogance, from our self-centeredness, from a me, me, me attitude. When we're set free from that, we will know who we really are. Prophet Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. The word of the Lord came to me thus, "Gird your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass, against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." When we serve him and we follow him, he will deliver us. That doesn't mean that everything's going to go right in this life for us. He will deliver us into eternal life. We will receive the crown of everlasting life, everlasting joy. In Psalm 71, "I will sing of your salvation, Lord. In you I take refuge. In you, in your justice, rescue me and deliver me. Be a rock of refuge for me, a stronghold to give me safety. You are my hope, O Lord." Make that Psalm, Psalm 71, make that prayer your own. Read it frequently. Because what you're saying is, "Lord, I'm going to take all my hope, all my confidence, all my joy from you." And now we read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 17 to 29. Herod was the one who had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." John spoke the truth. He's trying to get this man out of darkness into light. So Herodias, evil, jealous, conniving, Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. You know, when we get into that kind of rage, we ought to really know something's very wrong. Something's askew within us when we have that kind of rage. Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. And when he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. See, there's something in Herod that was blessed by hearing the truth, blessed by the words of John, but he couldn't give up his own pride, his own arrogance. To satisfy his own flesh, he couldn't give it up. Yet he liked to listen to him. She, Herodias, had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. It was a sensuous dance. He's caught up in lust. He's caught up in pride. He's caught up in an arrogance that blinds you and deafens you. Somewhere deep inside him, he liked to listen to John. He was touched by what John was saying, but not enough to turn away from his own flesh. That's when you cry out to God. Say, "God, help me," and he will do it. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, look at this, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I'll grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." So he thought that she was going to ask him for something, his property, his lands, his treasures. But she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Here we have Herodias. This is really, really hard. And she too is caught up in her own anger, her own hatred, her own bitterness. She replied, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." She hates him. She's made a choice. The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed. So he's still got something in him that recognizes that this is not good. But because of his oaths and the guess, what other people will think, what other people will say, he's not true to his word, etc., etc., what other people think causes him to murder. Actually, even though someone else committed it, he's guilty. The blood of John the Baptist is on his hands, but he can't see it. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl in turn gave it to her mother. Look at that. Look at that. How horrendous. To kill someone innocent so that your pride, your arrogance, your lust can proceed as you want it to. That's what happened to Jesus. It's what happened to John the Baptist. It takes different forms, but it's the same battle. Brothers and sisters, we want all of our desires to be under the lordship of Christ. Don't try to hide them, good or bad. Don't try to hide them. Take them to the Lord and say, Lord, let these good desires bear fruit for the glory of your name. And let these evil desires, these sinful desires in me, wilt and shrivel, because I choose to follow you, and I choose to follow your commands. I choose to obey you. Say that every day, and it will help you to break a pattern of sin in your life. Because the more sin you commit, the more blind you become, the more deaf you become, until you can no longer hear his voice. You can no longer, in quotation marks, see him. We become so consumed by the things of this world and by its priorities, even by its strategies. We see who's honored. They're not people that normally we would value, but oh my gosh, look how honored they are, and I want to be honored too, so I'll be honored by being close to them. That's what happened here in the gospel. Brothers and sisters, the world is in a very difficult place right now. Our country's in a very difficult place. We need to be as clear as we can about who we are and what we believe and what our goals in life are and where we're ultimately going. We need to live as sons and daughters and disciples of Jesus Christ. Don't try to straddle. Don't try to live in both worlds. You need to make the choice. And I pray that you will make it for God and for his kingdom, because his kingdom will last forever. May God give you wisdom and courage. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.